case, the United States versus Cisneros-Moro. Bannon.
May it please the court.
Counsel.
My name is Nishay Sanin, and I represent the defendant appellant Guadalupe Cisneros-Mora. Your Honor, the issues raised in this appeal focus around whether or not the court properly enhanced Mr. Mora's sentence under the manager-supervisor three-point enhancement under 3B1.1. The first issue, however, is whether or not the court committed error in denying acceptance of responsibility under 3E1.1. As this court has laid out in U.S. versus Hammock, the question that needs to be asked is whether or not the defendant, in this case Mr. Cisneros, manifested an acceptance of personal responsibility for his offense in a moral sense. That's what this court has set forth. Taking that into consideration and looking at the application note in the guidelines 3E1.1, did the defendant admit the conduct comprising the offense and truthfully admit or did not falsely deny any additional relevant conduct? Here, the district court judge found that because Mr. Mora denied the fact that he was a quote-unquote manager or supervisor within this conspiracy, she denied the two-point acceptance of responsibility, and then because he didn't qualify for the two-point reduction, denied the third point under 3E. Taking a look at what Mr. Cisneros-Mora did admit, Your Honors, if you look at the district court's sentencing memorandum, Mr. Mora admitted every fact, either in his plea or during his proffer sessions, that the district court relied upon to find that he was a manager-supervisor. Your Honors, this case is really no different than the Seventh Circuit case of United States versus Carroll, in which, in that case, the defendant also denied what his role was. The district court in that case found that the bare minimum admitting guilt was and denying what Mr. Carroll's role was insufficient. Here, Mr. Mora admitted guilt of being a participant in the conspiracy, admitted the quantity of the conspiracy, the drug quantity of the conspiracy, admitted the facts that the court relied upon, but challenged in the legal sense the definition under the guidelines of whether he was a manager or supervisor. Based on the facts that he admitted all that, looking at U.S. versus Hammock, looking at the application note 3E1.1, and looking at Carroll, the court committed clear error in denying acceptance of responsibility in this case. Mr. Moore should have been granted acceptance of responsibility, and his guideline should have been reduced accordingly to the 2 points, which the government challenged, but then he should have also been given the 1 point that the government did not challenge in the plea agreement, which raises another issue that was raised in this appeal, is whether or not the plea agreement became involuntary when the court, when addressing Mr. Moore as to what the guideline calculations was, included deducting that 1 point, stating that if the government is correct, your highest guideline range is a level 40. And if your attorneys are correct, your highest guideline range is a level 35. During the plea colloquy, at no time did anybody, including the judge, the prosecutor, or his then defense counsel, advise Mr. Moore that he was looking at a guideline calculation range of 41. His understanding during that plea colloquy, conducted by Judge Manning, was that at most it would be a level 40. The question then raised before this court, was it a voluntary plea at that point? And it's our position that because he was misinformed of what the proper guideline calculation would have been, what his two ultimate ranges would have been, either 40 or 35, the plea therefore becomes involuntary.
Did you ask the district court to withdraw the plea?
Trial counsel did not ask the district court.
So then our review is only for plain error.
That is correct, Judge.
And that's pretty tough.
It's a very high burden.
Establish plain error in a withdrawal.
That's correct, Judge. That's the only basis, because the trial attorney did not ask to withdraw the plea at that point. If you look at the colloquy, which is attached as an exhibit in our brief, the judge basically makes the comment, well, if the government's right, you're 40. If your attorney's right, you're level 35. And there is no discussion about that, what happens with that third point or him ever being a level 41. So Your Honor is correct. No one raised the issue during the plea colloquy. No one raised the issue at sentencing when the court found that Mr. Cisneros Mora was a level 41 after denying him acceptance of responsibility, enhancing him for manager-supervisor, and also denying him a safety valve, which again was based on the finding of manager-supervisor. So I agree it is a high burden. But if this court takes a look at the plea colloquy, it can see clearly that even the court was misguided as to what the sentencing range was going to be, at least by that one point. And if Your Honor is well aware of the guidelines, that one point to someone who has no prior criminal history makes a large difference. His low end would have been 292 months versus what he was sentenced to, 324. If there's no further questions, I would like to reserve some time for rebuttal.
Thanks. Mr. Bindi?
Good afternoon. May it please the court. The district court's findings on both the managerial role and the acceptance of responsibility are interrelated. The court found that the defendant had an aggravating role in the offense because he supervised the offloading of the cocaine. He was the point of contact for his superiors who were shipping the cocaine. He was responsible for gathering the workforce for offloading the cocaine. He had recruited Mr. Soraka, a co-defendant in the case, to make the warehouse available to him, and he contacted Soraka when it was time to use the warehouse, and he paid Soraka. All of these things support an aggravating role in the offense. And it's true that most of these matters were admitted by the defendant in his proffers. However, his position at sentencing was that another co-defendant, Ramirez Arroyo, who testified to many of these things, was lying, and that it was the Ramirez Arroyo brothers who were actually the supervisors. His position was that he was only a worker, and that's why the district court found that he had not accepted responsibility, because he had minimized his role in the offense. These findings are not clearly erroneous. The issue regarding the plea colloquy and the mistaken advice that the defendant got about acceptance of responsibility points does not render the plea involuntary. First of all, the district court made crystal clear that the calculations at that point were preliminary, and that nothing would be known for certain until the time of sentencing. And second, Your Honors, accurate advice about the guideline range at the time of the plea is not an essential component of a voluntary plea. So for these reasons, we would ask that the court affirm the judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bindi. Mr. Sennett.
Your Honors, addressing Mr. Bindi's arguments backwards, he discusses how the plea colloquy by itself was not misleading. But if you look at the plea colloquy as a whole, and you look at what the government even states, it's their attorney who represents that Mr. Mora would be getting the one-point reduction. And because of that one-point reduction, the government states that his level would be a 40. So not only is it the judge misguiding the defendant, but the judge is relying on based on what the government itself has told the defendant and has told the court during the plea colloquy. Judges, going back to whether or not he accepted responsibility, the issue of whether Ramirez Arroyo was telling the truth or not is a question for the district court to determine. But if you look at the facts which we've put forth in our brief and which are in the proffers, it is Ramirez Arroyo's brothers who are bringing the drugs in from Mexico. They are the quote-unquote leader organizers.
But were those facts, Mr. Sandler, before the district court?
Judge, when Mr. Arroyo testified, he was questioned as to who was bringing the drugs into the United States, which those transcripts are attached, and he admitted that it was his brothers bringing the drugs in. He also admitted that...
I guess my inquiry is, Judge Manning had the information that you suggest should be considered.
She did.
So if this were to be remanded to her, what further evidence would be presented on this manager issue?
Judge, the question of manager issue goes back to whether or not he accepted responsibility.
Right.
The fact
so
that
I guess what more could she have to reassess her final conclusion as to a manager responsibility?
Whether or not he was a manager? Judge, I think she misinterpreted the law as the Seventh Circuit has set forth. I mean, Carroll is clear that just because someone says I'm not an organizer or manager supervisor doesn't mean I don't get acceptance responsibility. Mr. Mora admitted all the facts
right. That
the judge relied upon. So where is he not accepting responsibility under the Carroll standard?
So every time a district judge, as the Judge Manning, made this kind of determination, and the defendant, who believes he's accepted responsibility but disagrees with his self or with the characterization of the role of the manager, that should result in a withdrawal of the plea.
Judge, I'm not saying it should result in a withdrawal of a plea, but it should if you follow the application note under 3E1 and you follow Hammock, if a defendant comes before a court. Admits his guilt as to the conspiracy, does not deny relevant conduct facts, or does not make false statements, then he should get acceptance responsibility. In this matter, it all focuses around manager-supervisor. And if Judge Manning would look at the facts that, first of all, she lists out in her ruling as to why he's not getting acceptance responsibility, because he is manager-supervisor, he's admitted every single fact that she relies upon. So where, if you follow the law of the Seventh Circuit, is he not eligible for acceptance of responsibility? Because he's admitted every fact necessary for the court to make a legal determination, he should get his acceptance.
What if you're number two in the Cali conspiracy?
If you're indicted number two or you're number two?
You're number two.
Okay.
But you plead.
Plead guilty.
And immediately and accept responsibility. But you say if you're not one of the Cali brothers, there is no manager below.
Well, Judge, how that would differentiate from here is what facts is the number two Cali person denying? Is he denying that he was in charge of, you know, all the violence that the Cali organization committed? If he is specifically making a false declaration that he was never involved in any of the violence that the Cali organization was involved in, and it turns out that the court determines that to be false, well then yes, under the footnote he wouldn't qualify for acceptance responsibility. But if that same person came up and said, here's everything I'm guilty to, I proffer to the government, here's everything I've done. Now, under a legal definition, am I a leader organizer, am I manager supervisor, or do I fall under the 2-point category? I'm objecting, saying, under the legal conclusion, I don't qualify as leader organizer. But that's not a basis to deny a defendant a acceptance responsibility, given the fact that the reason there is acceptance responsibility is to get people to plead guilty so the government and the courts don't have to go through the time and expense of having trials. Your Honor, my time is up, but I'd just like to say one thing.
Of course.
The court needs to take a look at one thing, and is if a defendant is about to plead guilty and the government disagrees with what his role, what benefit is there for the defendant to plead guilty? If you disagree with the government and the judge sides with the government and you're never going to get acceptance responsibility, if you know ahead of time that there's a big disagreement, even though the guidelines are no longer mandatory, why plead guilty? Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Court will